With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Why are you drinking a coffee now? Don't you have to go to bed at like 8?
I go to bed at 9:30. Thank you very much. But there's nothing like a, you know, late afternoon pick me up. Anyway.
I guess so. Hello, everyone. Anyway. Hi, I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the daily version of our podcast where Kai and I try to make today make sense. I feel like today was all over the place. I want to start with a sad milestone, which was this afternoon, the United States became the country with the most confirmed coronavirus cases in the world.
Yeah. If y'all haven't seen that chart that the FT keeps, the Financial Times keeps, of the arc of cases, I suggest you have a look at it and then stay home and wash your hands and don't go near any other person for 2 months.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. There's a free version too at worldometers.info. But yes, today's the day.
Well, good.
Number one is trending on Twitter because Twitter is nothing if not dark funny.
Yes. All right. So anyway, so what we're doing here is just to refresh. It's a daily version of our weekly podcast, which is us chatting for a while about what's on our minds news-wise, and then we will end today, as we plan to do most days, sometimes we forget, frankly, with a little thing that we like to call Make Me Smile, a little moment that gives us pause at the end of a sometimes grim day, like today was. So, you want to go first? What do you want to do?
I would like you to go first because I see your link and I have thoughts.
Well, you know, there is a way to play this as capitalism doesn't care whether you live or die. And then there is a way to play this as capitalism doesn't care whether you live or die, but that's the way the system works. There is a hedge fund guy named Bill Ackman, who has made many big and mostly losing bets. I mean, he's made a lot of money for a lot of people, but he fought a valiant fight against Herbalife, multi-level marketing company. He went against Valiant as well. He shorted those companies and lost a bunch of money. Shorting is when you bet the stock is going to go down and it doesn't. About a month ago, according to a story in the Journal today, building off some announcements that Ackman made late last week, turns out that a month or so ago, reading the handwriting on the wall that the coronavirus was going to be terrible for the global economy, Ackman spent $27 million to hedge his entire portfolio, which is in the billions of dollars, against a huge drop in global markets and global economy. And we learned today, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal, that the proceeds from that hedge, given the way things have gone the last month, are $2.5 billion. So Ackman, this is another version of The Big Short. If you read The Big Short from the financial crisis in Michael Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Ackman saw, as a lot of people did, including at least one of us in this conversation, that things would go to hell. I, however, did not have $27 million in which to hedge my portfolio. So I just kind of said it on the radio. Yes, ditto. Because it was, honestly, it wasn't really hard to see. But anyway, Ackman made the bet, and he won. Now, he has invested some of that money in other companies that are doing socially good things, like respirators and masks and all of those things. But, you know, capitalism doesn't care whether you live or die. Coronavirus edition is where we are, you know?
That's such an interesting choice for you to make, what? But yeah.
Oh, for me?
Okay.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, so look. Okay, so let me tell you
why. Do you
just
think it's like interesting? Yeah, tell me why this is the thing you're fixated on today.
Okay, I picked it, and this is going to step on your toes a little bit, but as you know, and as anybody who listens to Marketplace knows, we got a weekly unemployment claims figure today that was 10 times, more than 10 times normal. 3.2 million people in the past week applied for unemployment insurance. That is to say, they lost their jobs, and this is the first slice of this thing, okay? And yet, all three major indices were up 5.6% or more on the promise of financial stimulus and rescue from the federal government of the United States. The markets don't care whether you live or die because we are not done with this crash. We're just not, right? Mm-hmm. Until we get a handle on the virus, until we get a handle on the health policy issues, this market is going to remain volatile, and it's going to remain volatile to the downside, okay? But markets now are taking short-term gain on the promise of $2 trillion worth of aid, and this is plus or minus three up days in a row. And that, to me, is an extraordinary thing. And that, for me, was personified by Ackman. And thank you for the prompting question. I should have been more clear.
Rich gonna get richer? That's so interesting, because I have been thinking about, as I think everybody has, like the as we often talk about on our show, the extreme disparity, the extreme ends of the polls that are represent that are really, you know, in stark relief right now as a result of this crisis. And I happened to see it go by in Politico, and it was weird. It was like this insane disparity between the markets having their, you know, whatever like absurd baseball sounding stat, shout out to opening day. Markets have their best three-day run since 1933 when the sun is out, and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, meaningless in the sense that something like 3 million plus people filed for unemployment insurance, and Politico is reporting that that is probably massively understated.
Yeah.
Massively understated.
Because there's a whole slice of people who aren't in that number.
And so then, like, maybe some of the 2.6-bit, like, good job, Ackman, for making that good bet. Maybe you could help some folks with it. And that gets me to my second news fix item, because you know I brought two.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Because what I've been thinking is, yeah, markets don't care if you live or die, but it feels like we're inching just a little closer to some pitchforks coming out of whatever, wherever we land in the next few months. The disparity is going to be clearer and starker and more obvious, potentially, than it's ever been. And one example of this, which I was actually shocked to discover yesterday, is like, I really thought that Mark Cuban and a bunch of basketball players had just sort of solved the thing where the arenas were closed and no one was getting paid. And that is not the case. So my, like, second news fix item was to discover that, in fact, the billionaire owners of many, many professional sports leagues have not stepped up to make sure that the hourly people who would be working in arenas or working to support the teams in some way are being paid. They're not doing it. And I shouldn't be shocked anymore at the degree to which capitalism doesn't care if you live or die. But I was shocked by that. I was shocked. And I am raising it here to say,
around to my theme.
I know, right? Yeah. I like a theme. I like a theme.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw a tweet, I think yesterday. Man, is time really confusing right now.
It's crazy, isn't it?
A bunch of Silicon Valley insiders all got an email. One of them tweeted about it that basically was like, hey, buddy, if you want to get private testing for the coronavirus,
you
can.
Oh, I missed
and
that.
Here's how. I mean, it is all as obvious and stark and brutal as it's ever going to be. And coming out of this, there will be long-term historical consequences.
Okay.
I'm waiting for the happy place sting.
I was just going to go there
anyway. Let's make a turn, shall we?
Let's make a turn, shall we, to a little thing we like to call Make Me Smile.
There we go.
We'll take that. Look, we're doing remote radio now, man. We're remote podcasting, whatever you want to call it.
No visual cues.
Anything can happen. We ought to just do this live, like put it on the air somewhere. Convince some station to just take this. Molly and Kai for 15 minutes. Okay.
What do you got?
What's your thing?
I see this one tantalizing word here, and I love it.
Mine's totally easy. So, my 12-year-old, who, in case we didn't record the first part of Molly and Mine's little pre-podcast chat, the same 12-year-old who just had our golden retriever puppy step in her own poop, has also discovered how to make bread by herself. And it's really good. And I'm a big bread guy. And that's my little moment of sunshine. That's my moment of light. She's making bread like from scratch, all by herself, into and out of the oven, the whole deal. And so that's good. And I'm digging it. And I just find your pleasures where you can find them these days. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause also it smells so good and it's so nice.
Yep.
My Make Me Smile comes from Erica Phillips. And I have to say that there's all this like good news stuff, the feeds that are literally cropping up to deliver good news. But this was a pretty amazing one, and it speaks to, in some ways, the empathy gap also. A man in Atlanta, a previously homeless man in Atlanta, organized a whole bunch of people to set up portable hand-washing stations around the Atlanta area to help the homeless wash their hands.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right? It's, like, amazing. I mean, people are being so pro-social, and it's totally beautiful.
Go ahead.
No.
Well,
I was going to move on.
It's pro-social in an anti-social time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And it's pretty amazing. It's like the equal and opposite reaction to social isolation is people finding ways to help each other.
Right.
It's delightful. And now also, we asked for name suggestions for what we should call this period. And we're only going to have time to read a few of these because we promised some arbitrary time limit on our daily shows. But dude, this guy Cheeseman, that's how he said to pronounce his name, wrote in and made this incredible list. There's a long one. Hopefully we can figure out how to put it on the website. But I'm going to say my two favorites from the list are World War Zoom. And where is it? The Big Sit. No, Pause for the Cause.
Pause for the Cause.
I mean, I love it.
I personally like Life Deferred. Is a really good one. And all the rest of them didn't do it for me. But yeah.
Really?
Whatever.
The Viral Spiral?
Okay, fine. That one was pretty good too. There's a whole list.
We're still taking suggestions, and we will be back here at the same time tomorrow for Friday Happy Hour edition.
Oh, yeah. There will be beer.
There will be beer.
And also, I'm told there will be video, actually. Can you order from Bevmo?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to run out of beer. If this thing goes 2 months, I'm going to be out of beer. All right.
I already had stocked up on groceries, and then I had this moment where I was like, ooh, I probably should have bought a little more alcohol. And it turns out Bevmo delivers. God love him. Doing God's work right there.
be praised. Anyway, so remember our tagline here, people. None of us is as smart as all of us. So send us what you want to know about what's going on right now in this economy and in this life, weird, weird life we are living. Make me smart at marketplace.org. The subject line should be questions, and we will plow through them. Wednesday is question day. And that's when we do that. Emails, voice memos, take your pick, whatever you want. Make me smart at marketplace.org.
See you tomorrow. I feel like you're going to judge my beer. Like, I can already tell it's going to be like a thing.
I'm 100% going to judge your beer, of course.
Yeah, I know.
Are you
so it's fine. So I know I'm not going to try
drinker,
hard.
But are you a lousy beer drinker? Do you drink bad beer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tried to order Coors Banquet beer in the glass bottles, but they were out. I love that. I'm just saying that's a day drinking beer right there. It's outstanding. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner, and our senior producer is Jody Becker. I got better.
Daniel Ramirez engineered it today. Theme music was composed. We ran out of music by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. Executive Director Von Devan is Sitar Nieves. The Senior Vice President and General Manager is Deborah Clark. There we go. We ran out of
music. I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to spoil it and tell you which medium beer that I love I got.
No, that's fine.
You'll see.
My God.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.